Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Today, we are chatting with James J. Roman IV. And if you haven't said that before, say it out loud. James J. Roman IV. It's a lot of fun. He is the owner of Quality Services, Inc. These guys are just getting started in Jacksonville, Florida. James, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
So tell the world, how'd you get involved in the cleaning business? How'd you find Cleaning Nation? What series of events transpired to bring us here together today?
All right, so I am confined to a wheelchair with cerebral palsy, so I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. From a young age, I realized that I wasn't going to be given the same opportunities that other people are. So I figured, hey, why not make your own opportunity? The way I got started in the cleaning business at first, back in 2006, was I was actually browsing the Barnes & Noble, and I saw this book by Entrepreneur Magazine called How to Start a Cleaning Business, or a maid service, or whatever it was. So I read the book, I did what the book said, and we kind of took off from there.
Hold on 1 second. You said something really smart that people are going to miss because it's so simple. I'm just going to repeat what James said that sounded like nothing because it isn't a big deal until you think about it. And lives have been changed. I found a book. I read the book. I did what the book said. That's it. So many people find books. That's not hard. But 2%, maybe 10% tops read the book, and 1% does what the book says. Being an author and having so many people love my book, it does nothing when it holds down your coffee table. So just quick little, if you want the shortest, best advice I've probably given, I'm going to steal it right from James J. Roman IV. Get a book from someone that you trust. Read the book. Do what the book says. That's so good. I couldn't pass it. Go ahead, buddy. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, so that was pretty much it. I was at that time primarily doing mostly residential cleaning, and that pretty much came from buying leads and some other things that I was doing with the website and things like that. I had probably one full-time cleaner, I would call it, and I had one part-time cleaner. The full-time cleaner was awesome. Everybody loved her. The problem was when I started sending other people when she needed to take a break, they were like, it's just not the same anymore. Joyce isn't here. And that was the end of my business. So, Mike, that is what I'm here for, man. I'm trying to figure out how I can avoid having that issue again. Getting people trained properly and making sure that my turnover doesn't kill my business like it did in 2006.
All right. First of all, I got some things to say. I'm sorry, but I've got a soapbox coming. So get comfortable, everybody. Two things. First, I'm a huge fan of learning from other people's mistakes, right? The smart man learns from his mistakes. The really smart man learns from other people's mistakes. So I'm constantly telling people we have to have a system. If you have one customer that's 70% of your customers, you're in a very perilous situation because if they quit or when they quit, because nothing lasts forever, you're out of business. If they demand a massive price decrease or decide to pay you slowly or do any manner of crazy things, you're done. The exact same thing happens with employees. We have one or two or three employees that we trust. They've got 40, 50 hours a week. Our whole business rides on their back. And then when they quit, it's not if, it's when, even for the best employees, our whole business falls apart. So I'm always saying that kind of conceptually. I certainly don't like to hear what James had to go through, but let's at least learn from that lesson and realize, well, we don't have to make the same mistakes James made. We can make different, smarter mistakes. So Cleaning Nation, you know, I'm always kind of ranting about this subject of having multiple employees and systems and processes to have a real business. And again, I hate to hear James have to go through that, but I want to make sure that we at least learn from his mistake. I'm sure, James, you'd feel a little bit better if you knew you were saving dozens of people from the same thing you had. You're like, well, at least it cost me something, but at least something good came of it. Is that fair? Am I giving you too much credit?
That's absolutely right. If you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. So I'm all about it, man.
I forget who said that first, but I love that quote, James, and I couldn't agree more. All right, the second thing I want to say is twofold. One, I just want to welcome you as I believe the first person with cerebral palsy on my show. So anyone else has had it, they kept it a secret. So you were the first. We're almost 400 shows in. There's no prize. Nothing good happens. But I just want to acknowledge you for that. Second, I want to say, and I told you this off air, but I want to tell you in front of God and everybody here, I love, love, love that instead of saying, here's what I can't do based on my situation, you... doesn't sound like you spent a lot of time on that. And it's all, what can I do? Because we've all got our things. Some are smarter, some are taller, some are uglier, some are better looking, some are physically able to do things, some are physically able to do other things. So the fact that you focused on, here's what I'm going to do, what I can do, downright encouraging. And I just love it. And I'm not only encouraging to us, who cares about us? I think that's what's best for all of us, right? When I say, oh, I hurt my back or whatever, I got to go on disability. And again, no disrespect to anyone out there on disability. It is what it is, but I'm kind of stuck with that reality. If I go to heck with it, I'm going to do my own thing. I've got more control, and I think it's better for my life. So I just want to honor you and tell you that. Second, if you're anything like me, I just talked to Taj. James, if you're anything like me, you are probably sick of telling that story, right? My stupid thing, but my last name is Campion. Every time I ever introduce, I'm like, oh, like Champion, you should have been an H. You should change your name. There's always the same like 419 jokes that I've heard 1,000 times. I'm guessing with you, when you introduce yourself, you probably hear a lot, some sort of rant like I'm giving you. It's tempting to go, I'm bored of that. I'm sick of it. The thing I would do, James, is I'd invite people into that story. I think the community that you've got in terms of employees and customers and whatever, they're going to love your story. They're going to want to support it. They're going to want to be a part of it. And even though it's boring to you, probably, because you're like, I've been living with this story for years. It is going to be fascinating, and people are going to be a part of that. I've got a customer that's huge. He's just a big, big man. And same thing, right? Everyone meets him's like, oh my gosh, you're like a blah, 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 blah. And he's probably bored sick out of that conversation. But I'm like, don't do that. Use it to your advantage. Be the, in your bids, put the big scary guy that whatever. Or, you know, it's, if there's a conversation already going on in people's heads, let's join it as opposed to try and fight it. So I know you didn't ask for feedback on that, but I just want to tell you that's a superpower you've got. I'll bet you're not leveraging it. I'm just telling you from the world, they're going to be interested as opposed to going, I want to downplay it. People want to, I'm guessing the right people are going to want to come around and be a part of that story. Does that make sense, or is that totally out of left field?
It absolutely does. Prior to starting the cleaning, prior to my restarting of the cleaning business, I was in sales selling life insurance. And that was one of my major things, was people would say, oh, there's some drunk guy or some guy's high. He's on the phone trying to sell something. I don't know what he's talking about. So when I called people, I would just start saying, hey, I know what you're thinking. I sound drunk or high. That's not the case. Even though I do like to drink, but I'm not drunk right now. And this is what I want to call you for. So once I started doing that, people started to relax.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'll tell you, and it's so funny because you, in my show notes before I called you, I had notes that you had cerebral palsy. So I didn't have that thought. But had I not had those notes, I might have thought like, what is with this guy? And then I would have felt like a total jerk when you're like, no, I'm not drunk, you jerk. This is how I speak. I love that. I love that you just leaned into it. And people, I learned that from speaking, right? If I follow a speaker that's like, the founder and president of our company, James J. Roman III just passed away, and let's have a moment of silence. Okay, Mike Campion, everybody. If I just give it up and do my speech like nothing happened, I'm going to get slaughtered. I have got to acknowledge the thing that everybody's thinking about, right? If I don't, they're not going to move on. They're still thinking. They're still in the space. So if I'm going, why do you talk funny, or what's going on, or whatever, whatever you're saying, I can't interest. So I love that you just said, let me tell you, and I'll tell you how I would do it. You feel free to take it or leave it. I go, just so you know, I know that I sound drunk. The truth is I have cerebral palsy. That said, I'm still drunk, but I can, you know, and then I think people think that's, you know, obviously you'd have to make sure people are comfortable knowing you're kidding. So, okay. Anyway, enough of the advice that you didn't ask for. Let's get into some feedback that you actually want. What I hear you saying is you want to figure out how to create a system so if and when, I shouldn't say if, when an employee doesn't show up, you're not stuck trying to figure out how to clean from a wheelchair. Is that fair?
Exactly.
Okay. So let me just give a couple outlines of how to have this work. First and foremost, I don't like folks cleaning anyway, right? So if you were listening to the show and you own a cleaning company, you should not be cleaning. One of the best, my favorite things about when I had a car dealership or when I had my construction company is I cannot weld. I cannot install. I would kill or hurt somebody if you give me big, heavy equipment to work. So if I didn't have a welder or an installer show up, I'm not out there, right? I don't have a wheelchair issue. I'm not good at things issue. So for whatever the reason, I'm not, I couldn't do it. Cleaning Nation, picture James. And when it's time, when you think you quote unquote have to clean, realize you don't have to clean. Picture me with a wrench in my hand looking at a transmission going, I don't know where to go from here. Picture James going, well, I'm not going to clean. Where do I go from here? And realize it is not, you never quote unquote have to clean. You can absolutely run a business without cleaning. That said, I do want to have you clean for the first couple of weeks to get the times down so you know how to do it, right? You don't have to, right? I never installed or did mechanic type stuff, but if I could have, I would have for a couple weeks just so I could go through that. James is probably going, not an option for me, dude, or not a sensible option at least. The feedback is you're just going to have to be a little better with data. That's how I was, right? When I had my installers, it took me a while to know how long things took and how long they should take and what's okay and what's not okay. I just had to pay better attention to the data. So that's the coaching I'm going to give to you, James. Also, the more core values-based company we run, the less we're going to have to micromanage. So I found when it's you do this, you've got 4 hours, not a minute more, get to work and I'm going to pay you. And if you take more than 4 hours, I'm going to yell at you. That's a tough long-term road to hoe. That said, if I have people that believe what I believe and are down with the cause and they're here because they want to be a part of something bigger and they love the community and this is their second family, I found that they just kind of do stuff right and I don't have to worry about it as much. So does that kind of help? Because we're going to get to the what to do when someone quits. But for you, you're like, hey, how do I police people when I've not been able to physically clean myself or hold them accountable when, you know, that's not something you've done. Does that help at all?
Yes, sir. Absolutely does.
Okay, cool. So that said, we're all going to pretend we're like James or Mike with a wrench and say, we can't clean, right? That's it. That's the first step. I hate to say it, and James has already got this down. The rest of us have to do it on purpose. I can't clean. We have to change our mindset to go, I cannot clean. I couldn't find a mechanic to get that work done. I never couldn't find installers or welders or people that had skills because I never had in the back of my mind, oh, if it doesn't work, I'll just do it, right? Because I couldn't. So that, believe it or not, that's going to be an asset for you, James, just knowing that you know if you don't get this solved, it ain't going to get cleaned. That's, I know it might feel like a handicap, that piece of it, an asset. The fact that we just know that, I really want Cleaning Nation to own that I can't clean. I won't clean. It's not for me. So that's step one. Step two is creating a system. So you've got option one, option two, option three, option four, option five, and nowhere on that is your name, right? If option A, B, C, D fails, option E is Mike Cleaning. There is no Mike, there is no James on the option list, but we do have an option list that's longer than one, right? One is the person that's supposed to shows up and does it. What if they don't? I'm stuck, right? So we need three or four or five options, which I'm going to give you right now. The key is none of those are your name in that slot. You with me so far, James?
Right.
Cool. I'm so committed to this. I am okay losing a customer or even upsetting a customer for not cleaning. I would rather do that than show up and try and clean myself. Because once you break that barrier and you show up and clean, now you can always show up and clean. So I would literally figure it out, but I'm never going to clean. That said, let's give you some options of things that you can actually do to make sure that this doesn't happen. So first and foremost, overstaff. I shouldn't say overstaff, properly staff is the words I'm looking for. A lot of people have full-time folks. I'm not a fan of full-time folks. Let me tell you why. If you've got four people at 40 hours, I would much rather you have eight people at 20 hours. If you have four people at 40 hours a week and one guy doesn't show up, well, we've still got the same 160 hours of work. Now we've got to divide it over the other three. The problem is the other three have already worked 40 hours. And because we have, because the fourth guy that didn't show up is full time, now I've got to divide 40 hours amongst three people that have already worked a full time shift. In addition to having to pay overtime, they're going to be pissed. They don't want to work. And it's not a good long term solution. Is that so far? Does that make sense, James?
Yep.
Cool. Now, if I've got the same thing, but if I've got eight people that are working 20 hours and one quits, well, now I've got seven people that have only worked 20 hours. So if I have to work, you know, three extra hours that week, they won't even feel it, right? So more people working less hours is properly staffed. It's too much leverage to give someone, to give them 40 or 50 hours a week, unless you've just got dozens of employees and you can do it. But when you're just starting, 15, 20 hours tops. So far, so good?
Yep.
Cool. Second, larger teams. If you have a team of five and someone doesn't show up, nothing happens, right? If the five of them were going to clean for 4 hours, now the four of them are going to clean for 5 hours. Really not a big issue. And again, if it's an hour or two job, we can't have a team of five, but I generally like a team of two, at least. And there's other people that do it with a team of one, and there's definitely some benefits to each. But if not having someone show up and you missing is a problem, have a team of two, right? Because then if someone doesn't show up, the next option is that one guy or gal cleans by himself, as opposed to if someone doesn't show up as a team of one, now our hair is on fire. Does that make sense? Cool. The next thing is no call, no show, no job, period. No call, no show, no job, every time. What that means is so many people fall for this. Someone doesn't call, they don't show up, they scramble. They call the guy, what the heck? Oh, I'm so sorry, or blah, 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 or nothing. They don't get called back, and then a week later, the guy shows up, is like, all right, I'm ready to work. And they're like, I really need someone, so okay. You've got to have a no call, no show, no job, period, right? Because I guarantee you, someone no call, no shows today, they'll do it again tomorrow. Maybe not literally tomorrow, but some point in the future, it will happen again. The only way to prevent it is to say, the only way to guarantee it never happens again is say, you have no job here, and replace them with someone that doesn't flake. And also, if everyone knows, if I no call, no show, I lost the job, period. There is no, well, I'll just talk my way out of it, or Mike likes me, or blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of incentivization for people that are just, they know what's going to happen. Okay. So far, are you still with me? I know we're going quick.
No, I'm good. So basically, set those expectations in the beginning so that you don't have problems moving forward.
Yes, and when you do have problems, it's not a big issue, right? Because people are, you just nip it in the bud, right? We don't let that cancer come. So if you fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, you know, or fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So if they no call no show and you let them stay, no one to blame when it happens again other than yourself. And again, keep in mind, I didn't say no show, no job, no call, no show. I've had people call me from jail. No matter where you are, what you're doing, you know my phone number, you can call. And you'd be shocked how creative people, I didn't know the number, go to the website. These are not the people you want. All right, last couple things is if you have money that requires a problem, or if you have a problem that requires money, and you have money, you do not have a problem. If you have a problem that requires money and you have money, you don't have a problem. So the way we use that in this situation is we can hire floaters, right? So we can hire people who we say, your only job, and this is when you have four, five, or six employees, you can say your only job is when I call you, you show up, period, whenever, right? I'm only going to call you when someone doesn't come, but your job is to be ready. You're on call. And you were probably going to pay this person more than regular, right? So if your regular pay is $12 an hour, you may pay this guy $18 an hour, right? Or gal. But the deal is you get paid well because you're ready. That's what you get paid for. Another way you can do it is to incentivize people to show up for no-shows. So I have a policy where no call, no show is no job, period. If you do call in, that still counts against you. You don't lose your job, but it's still a problem, right? If you call in and say, hey, I can't come in tonight, and it's a kind of a last minute deal, that's going to count against you. But I don't want you to be forever in the way, when I say count against you, we do quarterly reviews. And at that review, your ability to get more pay is based on how often you no call, no show, or not no call, no show, because then you're fired. You wouldn't have a review, but how often you called in and didn't show up. I let you erase that by two taking shifts of somebody else, right? So I call and say, hey, James, I can't show up tonight. I'm sorry. I know it's last minute. If in the next quarter before my review, I can pick up two shifts for someone else that didn't call, that doesn't count against me at all. It's erased. So we want to incentivize people showing up for other people. And if you can't do that, you can do a little bonus. You can give them however you want to do it. You want to make it attractive and appealing. Last thing is you can contract with a competitor or with someone that just does it, you know, find someone else and share labor with, right? Hey, I've got 5 or 8 employees. You've got 5 or 8 employees. Sometimes I've got extra labor and I could share. And sometimes I'm not going to have people that we could call. So you want to have people that you can pay kind of a wholesale rate that's got, you know, a lot of employees. It's like, hey, if someone doesn't show up, can I call you and kind of put your person in my uniform and I'll pay you a premium for that. So these are the kinds of things that you want to do in advance. So when that happens, not if, you're prepared. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. Cool. Let's hit the lightning round. Clean Nation Lightning Round is brought to you by the very next live event. Come hang out with me and up to 15 other awesome owners in Clean Nation. We spend 3 days together implementing the entire Clean Profit Method. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live for all the details. All right. We're going to hit the lightning round. 3 quick questions, 3 amazing answers. Question number 1, James, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received, personally or professionally?
I would say inspect what you expect. Which is something that I haven't been doing now that I've been listening to you. So if I had been inspecting what I expected, then I would have never been in a situation where I didn't have somebody to clean because I would have planned ahead for that to happen. So I would say inspect what you expect. You can't say you want to build $1 million company and you got 3 employees. That's just not logical.
So you can say it all you want, but you're not going to have any luck. You're not going to have any luck making it happen.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Okay. Question number 2. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? So we can all learn from your mistakes.
Well, I would say getting too comfortable. You know, when things are good, you don't want to take your foot off the gas. Because if you do, when things start to slow down, then you're like, oh, crap, what I do? So I would just say getting comfortable where I was at the time was a big mistake.
Beautiful. Not beautiful that it happened, but beautiful that it's a great share we can all learn from.
I got you.
All right, last question. What's the best book you've read that you think Cleaning Nation might get some value from? You can share with the rest of us.
Really, anything by John C. Maxwell is awesome. Anything, he has a lot of leadership books and things like that I think are awesome. So anytime I have a leadership type of issue or I need to become a better leader, then that's one of the authors that I look to first.
I'd argue with you if I could, but I absolutely respect John Maxwell as a leader and as an author. Couldn't agree more. Cleaning Nation, thank you for jumping in and joining us, hanging out with me and James and I. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. James appreciates you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out James' show notes page and the special video I made just for you on how to grow your cleaning company, take control, transform it into something that makes you money as opposed to brings stress and headache, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. I will see you there. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.